Let the church say amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. You know, people come to church on Sunday because they've got to, and people come to church on Monday because they get to. And thank you for being get to and not got to. I want you to do something. I want you to do something that may be the most important thing you've ever done since you've been attending church. I want you to answer with me 6 soul-searching questions. Would you do that? Get into your heart, your life, your soul, and answer with me 6 soul-searching questions. The questions that I'm talking about will be handed to you right now, and everybody needs one, every man, woman, boy, and girl. You might want to go ahead and find something to write with, a pencil or a pen. But when you get one of these cards, please do not start. We'll all start together. Does anybody need a card? Everybody has one. Okay, very good. Let's start with number 1. Again, you might want to try to find something to write with, a pencil or a pen. Question number 1, have you ever made a commitment to Christ? Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, surrendered to Him as Lord? If the answer is yes, circle yes. If the answer is no, note that. Now, if you answer no, I've never accepted Jesus or made a commitment to Christ, the rest of these questions, questions 2 through 6, do not apply to you. But if you say, yes, I have made a commitment to the Lord, how old were you when you made this commitment? Were you 12, 19, 34? If you do not remember, guesstimate it. Put that in the blank. Question number 2, did you make a confession at the time of your commitment? Do you remember saying anything? If you did, circle that. If you did not, circle no. If yes, what did you confess? You say, Keith, I made a confession. Well, what did you confess? In your own words, put that in the blank. Question number 3, have you been baptized? Ever in your life been baptized? If you answer yes, note that. If you answer no, note that. Now, if you answer no, I've never been baptized, the rest of these questions, questions 4, 5, and 6, do not apply to you. But if you say, yes, I've been baptized, tell me, how were you baptized? Was water sprinkled upon you? Was water poured on your body, your head? Were you immersed, buried, covered, dunked in water? Put that in the blank. Question number 4, you ready for number 4? How long after your commitment were you baptized? You say, Keith, I made a commitment to Christ. Well, how long was it until you were baptized? Were you baptized the same day, the next day, a month later, a year later? Put that on the card. Number 5 is a very important question. Why were you baptized? You say, Keith, I've been baptized. That's wonderful. Why were you baptized? In your own words, put that in the blank. Then number 6, the very last one, were you saved before or after your baptism? If you believe that you were saved before you were baptized, circle that. If you believe that you were saved after, maybe I should say at the point of your baptism, circle that. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the card and fold it, okay? Hide your answers. Don't let anybody see them. This is a very personal thing. It's between you and the Lord. And then would you open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 16. Since your preacher's name is Mark, we're going to stay with Mark. Last night, if you were with us, we talked about what the Bible says about evangelism from the Gospel of Mark. And tonight, what the Bible says about salvation, also from the Gospel of Mark, the very last chapter, Mark chapter 16. Maybe you remember it's the resurrection chapter. What does that mean? Well, Jesus died upon the cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, He marched out of that tomb. And that's what we read about in Mark 16. We read about the resurrection of Jesus. And I want you to notice some of His last words that He spoke while He was living on earth. Mark 16, and we're going to camp out in verses 15 and 16. Are you with me? Verse 15 of Mark chapter 16. Jesus said to the disciples, to the believers, He said, go into all the world. Go to El Salvador and go next door. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, to every creature. Then he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. What does the Bible say about salvation? Listen again to verse 16. Anybody, whosoever, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned or shall be lost or shall be damned. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there are three words in Mark 16, in verse 16, that I want us to notice together. And the first one of these words is this one. It's the word believes. Jesus said, he that believes, question, believes what? If you believe in something. You say, well, Keith, we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I would say amen to that. I would say you're right. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, except ye believe that I am, I'm the one, I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Somebody says, we've got to believe in God himself. And again, I would say you're right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But if you'll glance back to verse 15, I think you'll find the answer to the question. And the question is, what must we believe? Well, in verse 15, Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world and preach, teach the gospel. Now, you know what the gospel is, don't you? What's the gospel? Yeah, it's good news, right? Now, sometimes we preachers preach it as though it's bad news. Have you noticed? We get up and we scream and we holler and we shout and we beat on the pulpit and we raise our voices and we say, you bunch of sinners! And sometimes we preach it as though it's rotten, it's bad. But it's not bad news, it's good news. And the good news is that Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth so that we could go to heaven. Wow. Wow. The good news is Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth. He died upon a cross. He was buried and he was raised. And I believe that if you were the only sinner living, Jesus would have done that for you. He would have died for you. He would have been buried for you. He would have been raised for you. He's crazy about you. The heart of the gospel, the center of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, is the fact that Jesus died for our sins according to the book, according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Jesus says, take this good news. Take the fact that I love people, that I died for people, that I was raised for people. Take this good news and preach it and teach it. And then he said, he that believes. Believes what? Well, obviously, he's talking about the good news. You've got to believe the gospel. You've got to believe that Jesus died and was buried and was raised. And that's word number one. The second word that I want us to notice tonight is this one. It's the word baptized. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized. What does that mean, baptized? Have you been baptized? Somebody says, oh yeah, when I was 3 years old, I was baptized. In fact, some time ago, I studied the Bible with a friend of mine. He said, you know, I don't remember a lot about it, but when I was 3 years old, I was baptized. I said, baptized when you were three? He said, yeah. When I was 3 years old, water was sprinkled upon my body, and that was my baptism. And you know, a lot of people look upon baptism as a sprinkling, maybe water being administered to the body, water being poured upon the body. What does the Bible say? See, that's the thing for this week, what the Bible says. What does the Bible say of that baptism? Well, in John 3, verse 23, if you're taking notes, that's John 3 and verse 23, John the Baptist, we call him the Baptist not because he was a member of a Baptist church, we call him John the Baptist because he baptized people. John the Baptizer, the Baptist, baptized in Enon near Salem. Do you remember why he baptized there? He baptized in a particular place for a particular reason. Some of you know why. He baptized there because Scripture says there was much water there. Now, folks, to sprinkle somebody doesn't take a lot of water. To pour water on somebody's body doesn't take a lot of water. But to dip, to plunge, to immerse, to cover takes a lot of water. Then I think about a story that you read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. A fellow, we don't know his name, but he was from Ethiopia. He was doing this. He was reading his Bible. And Philip, the preacher, comes along and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, not really. I need some help. And so Philip begins right there in Acts chapter 8. You read the story, but he begins in Isaiah 53, where the Ethiopian was reading. And Philip, the preacher, talks to this guy about Jesus. Well, as they went on their way, they came to some water. And this guy from Ethiopia said to the preacher, sir, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And you remember the story of Acts chapter 8. They stopped that chariot, that vehicle, and they went down into the water, the preacher in the center, and he, the preacher, baptized him. And when they would come up out of the water, and see, that's really what baptism is. It's a going down into the water and a coming up out of the water. And then I think about what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried, not sprinkled. Therefore we are buried, not poured. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism. Just like Jesus was buried in that tomb, we're buried with him in baptism. And that's what baptism is. It's a burial. It's a covering in water. And Jesus said, anybody that believes the gospel, and is obedient, is baptized, is buried in water. The third word that I want you to notice is this one. It's the word saved. Saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What does that mean, saved? Have you been saved? Are you saved? I mean, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Well, the word saved is used in the Bible in at least three different ways. The word saved is used in at least three different ways. Sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to physical salvation. A salvation from a storm, a fire, an earthquake. You people in California know about those earthquakes, right? Saved from a storm, a fire, an earthquake. Let me give you a case in point. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter is talking about Noah and his family, and he's talking about that boat, that ark. And he says, in that ark, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved. They were saved by water. In other words, Noah and his wife, Mrs. Noah, their three boys and their wives, eight people were in that ark, and they were saved in that ark. Everybody else died in that flood. Their lives were not spared, but Noah and his family were saved in that ark. And there the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to physical salvation. Everybody else died in that flood. But that's not what Jesus is talking about in Mark 16:16. When Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, we're not talking about physical salvation. And if you don't believe it, just take a look at all the Christians who have gone on. They've died. There have been people who have believed the gospel, and they have been immersed, submerged, dunked in water. But we look around, and where are they? Their pews are empty. They're no longer here. They're not here because they've moved. They're not here because they've gone on. They've gone on. They've gone on to the next world. They've died. Their lives were not spared. So we're not talking about physical salvation, but in the second place. Sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to eternal salvation. Saved in heaven. Saved now and forevermore. Saved without the possibility of being lost. Let me give you a case in point. Revelation 21, John is talking about heaven. The prophet of Patmos is talking about heaven. And in Revelation 21, in verse 24, at least in my mother's Bible, the O King James, John, the writer of the book of Revelation, said, and the nations of them which are, here's the word, in the OKJV, King James, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. In other words, they're in heaven. They're saved in heaven. They're saved. They're not going to be lost. They're not just saved temporarily. They're saved permanently. They're in heaven. They're saved now and forevermore. They're saved eternally. That's not what Jesus is talking about in Mark 16:16. He's not saying he that believes and is baptized shall be saved eternally in heaven without the possibility of being lost. And if you don't believe that, just take a look at all the Christians who have backslidden. Maybe we have some people here tonight. And maybe you have believed the gospel and you've been immersed in water, but your life is not right with God. If you were to die right now, you would not go to heaven. You'd be lost in that bad place. You'd be lost in hell. So we're not talking about saved, eternally saved, without the possibility of being lost. There are people that believe in Jesus, and they obey Jesus in baptism, but for some reason, they're like that dog that goes back to that vomit. They're like the pig that goes back to the mud. Peter talked about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. So we're not talking about locked in, saved eternally, saved in heaven, saved now and forevermore. But in the third place, sometimes this word, the word saved, is used in the Bible in reference to salvation from past sins, a forgiveness, the removal of past sins. Let me give you a case in point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, what does Paul say? For by grace are you saved. You say, Keith, I thought that was in verse 8. Well, verse 5 says the same thing, but verse 8 says the same. For by grace are ye, here's the word, both in verse 5 and in verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Saved from what? Well, Ephesians 2 starts out like this. And you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. They were dead in sin, but God saved them. They were saved by grace. And there the word saved is used in Scripture in reference to salvation from past sin, forgiveness of past sin. And I really believe that's what Jesus is talking about in Mark 16, 16. Jesus is saying, look, do you want to be saved? You want to be forgiven? You want to start again? You want a new life? You want your slate wiped clean? Anybody that believes, word one, and is baptized, word two, shall be saved, forgiven, word three. Let me tell you something, folks. It feels good to be saved. I know in churches of Christ, we don't like to talk about feeling good. That sounds too denominational. That sounds too Pentecostal. Well, I want to say to you, it feels good to be saved. The Ethiopian, when he was baptized into Christ, Scripture says he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way feeling good. It feels good to be saved. And if you're saved and headed to heaven, notify your face, would you? Put a smile on your face and a song in your heart and a leap in your step. See, being saved is a good thing. You've been forgiven. You've been born again. Your sins have been washed away. Wow. It's a good thing to be saved. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I want to give you a statement that is similar to this statement, okay? A statement that is parallel to Mark 16 and verse 16. In the first place, I want you to consider the word comes. And the word fed. And the third word is this one, filled. Suppose I got up here and I said, we're having a big old covetous dinner on Sunday, kind of like what we did yesterday. This coming Sunday, we want everybody to come. And we want you to eat, have dinner with us. And anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled. Question. If that's a true statement, what do you have to do to be filled? Take your time. I mean, if that's a true statement, you'd have to come and you'd have to be pretty simple, right? But some of you are confused. I can tell it's written across your face. You're confused. And I knew it would take two statements for some of you. So I prepared to. First of all, consider the word cause. The word cause. And the word grabbed. Grabbed. And the word rescued. Rescued. Let's say you're out on some river, a lake. Mark, do you have a lake, freshwater lake around? Give me one. Clear. Is it clear or muddy? That doesn't sound like a good answer to me. Okay, you're on clear lake, okay? And maybe you're in a canoe, you're in a boat, and the boat turns over. Is it deep enough to drown? You can drown on clear lake. Okay. And you go, you know, you go out of the boat, you can't swim. Suppose I said to you, anybody that calls and is grabbed shall be rescued. What would you have to do to be rescued if that's a true statement? Well, you'd have to, hey, help, right? I'm drowning, somebody. You'd have to call, and then you'd have to be grabbed to be rescued, right? Pretty simple. If I said to you, anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled, what do you have to do to be filled? If that's a true statement, well, you'd have to come, and you'd have to be fed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, marches in here tonight, and we say, Lord, we're so happy to see you. We're so confused. Lord, we hear this and we hear that. One preacher says this, another preacher says that. One church teaches this, and another church teaches that. Lord, we want to know from your own lips, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What do you say about salvation, Lord? And suppose Jesus got up here and said, anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Somebody says, now, wait a minute, Keith, if baptism is all that important, why did Jesus say what he said in the last part of verse 16? Well, let's go to the last part of verse 16. The last part of verse 16, he goes on to say, but he that believes not shall be lost, shall be damned. Somebody says, now, if baptism is all that important, why didn't Jesus say, he that believes not and is baptized not? It's a good question. And I believe that the answer to the question is very simple. If I said to you, anybody that calls and is grabbed shall be rescued, I wouldn't have to say, okay, if you don't call and if you're not grabbed, because it's obvious in this illustration, if you don't call for help, help, I'm drowning. If you don't call, nobody's going to grab you. If I said to you, anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled, it's obvious in this illustration that if you don't come to the dinner table, I wouldn't have to say, okay, if you don't come and if you're not fed, because if you don't come to the dinner table, you wouldn't be fed. And when Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized should be saved, he didn't have to say, okay, if you don't believe and if you're not baptized, because it's obvious if a man doesn't believe in his heart, the gospel, he's not going to go through the foolishness of being baptized. So it all starts with our faith in Jesus, faith that leads to action. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, here's what I want you to do. I know you've looked at it, but I want you to go back to Mark 16 and make sure these words, some form of these words, are found in your Bible. Does your Bible say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Is that in there? You see that? Let me ask you this question. What if I came and I taught you this? What if I came and I taught you that a sinner is saved before he does anything at all? He's saved even before he believes. And by the way, this is not a hypothetical question. Do you realize that there are good people, sincere people, religious people, church-going people that teach it like this? They call it predestination. You've heard that word? Now, the Bible teaches predestination. The Bible teaches that plainly. But the Bible doesn't teach predestination like some people believe predestination. Some people teach it like this. Sir, you're saved. And Stan, somebody has to be lost. You're lost. And you're saved and you're lost and you're saved and you're lost. And if you're lost, there's nothing you can do to be saved. And if you're saved, there's nothing you can do to be lost. You're kind of locked in by God. God has chosen you to be saved or lost. And if you're lucky, God has selected you to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be lost. And really, you're saved even before you do anything at all because you've been called by God. You're saved even before you believe. You say, Keith, that's not in my Bible. Jesus didn't say you're saved first. And you're right, it's not in your Bible. Let me ask you another question. Suppose I came and I taught you this. You believe in Jesus, trust Jesus, believe the gospel, ask Jesus to come into your heart, and then you're saved. And then a few weeks later, maybe a month later, next Sunday, sometime later, you can be baptized. In fact, some time ago, I studied the Bible with a friend of mine. I said, have you ever made a commitment to Christ? He said, oh, yeah, when I was 12 years old. 12 years old? Oh, yeah, I was baptized when I was 12. Or he said, I made a commitment when I was 12. I said, have you ever been baptized? He said, oh, yeah, I was baptized when I was 25. I was saved when I trusted in Jesus. I was saved when I was 12, made that commitment, and I was baptized 13 years later. But I was saved when I was 12. Do you know anybody who's done it like that? You know, that is not a hypothetical illustration. There are good people, sincere people, people in my family, perhaps people in your family who have been taught like this. You know, trust in the Lord, ask Jesus to come into your heart, and bingo, you're saved. And now baptism is a good thing. You ought to be baptized, but baptism really doesn't have anything to do with salvation. And so basically they teach you believe in Jesus, and then you're saved. And, you know, if you want to be baptized, that's good. You can be baptized sometime later. You say, well, Keith, I look at Mark 16, and that's really not in my Bible, but as long as I've been baptized, the order's not that important. Oh, the order's not that important? I tell you, folks, if the order's not that important, let's just do it like this. If the order's not that important, let's teach it and let's preach it like this. Let's put baptism first. I mean, if the order's not that important. And by the way, this is not a hypothetical illustration. Do you realize that there are good people, sincere people, church-going people, and they've been taught that? They get these little infants, babies, maybe young people, 2, 3, 4 years old, children that really don't have a clue, and they go through some kind of baptism, and if these little kids grow up to believe in Jesus, you know, everything's okay. See, if the order's not that important, we could just teach it like this. You know, I tell you, we've got to have some baptisms this week. Let's gather up some little kids and let's baptize them. And if they grow up to believe in Jesus, everything's going to be okay. You say, Keith, that's not in the book. It's not in the book. But let me challenge you with this thought. Neither did Jesus put it like this. Jesus did not say, trust in the Lord, ask Him to come into your heart, and then you'll be saved. And sometime later, maybe 13 years later, when you're 25, you can be baptized. See, that's not in the book either, is it? I tell you, folks, what the Bible says about salvation, Jesus put it like this. Anybody that believes, you are awake, right? Jesus put it like this. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I know that to be the truth because that's the way that Jesus put it. Does that make sense to you? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to these questions that you answered a few minutes ago and look at question number one. Have you ever made a commitment to Christ? Most of you said, yes, I have made a commitment to Christ. Maybe you've said no. You've never made a commitment to Christ. We love you. This church loves you. Jesus loves you. And tonight's the night. Tonight's the night that you need to commit yourself to Jesus. Go down to number three for time's sake. Just go down to number three. Have you been baptized? Let me tell you what most of you said. Most of you said, yes, I've been baptized. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've been baptized. Let me tell you what a few of you said. A few of you said, no, I've never been baptized. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Tonight you can become a Christian. But to those of you who've been baptized, check out number five, very important question. Why were you baptized? You say, Keith, I was baptized when I was 12 years old. That's wonderful. Why? Why did you do what you did? Were you baptized to be saved, Mark 16, 16? Were you baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2, 38? Were you baptized to have your sins washed away? Acts 22, 16, why do you wait? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Were you baptized to get into Christ, into His death, His blood, Romans 6 and verse 3? Were you baptized to put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27? We're all the children of God by faith, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Were you baptized to put on Christ? You say, Keith, I've been baptized. I'm glad you've been baptized. Why? Were you baptized? Then check out number six. Were you saved before or after your baptism? I tell you what the Bible says, what Jesus said. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You say, Brother Keith, this lesson was not for me because, man, I've been a Christian for 15, 20 years. I've been a Christian most of my life. Let me ask the Christians of this audience, honestly, how are you and Jesus doing? Are you closer to Jesus right now than you've ever been in your life? You attend church more than you've ever attended. You pray more now than you've ever prayed. You give more now than you've ever given. See, maybe we have some baptized believers who just need to renew their faith. Maybe we have a few in this audience who do need to become Christians. You need to be baptized tonight. I heard about a guy, good guy. He was not a Christian. His wife was. His wife was a Christian. He wasn't. And they attended a little country church. I grew up in a country church. If we had 50 on Sunday morning, that was a huge crowd for us. And this couple that I'm talking about, wife Christian, husband not a Christian, they attended a little country church. Every time the door was open, they was there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And every time this little church had a revival, the local preacher, the guy kind of like Martin, the visiting guy kind of like myself, would go out to see this guy that was not a Christian. And you know, he was so nice about it. He would usually put his arms around these two preachers, the local preacher and the visiting preacher. And he would say, fellas, I know why you're here. I know that you love me and you want me to become a Christian. He would say, you know, I'm thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. One day I will. One day I'm going to obey. And that went on for years. I'm talking about years. And one day the fellow that I'm talking about was out in the field working. Tractor turned over on him, pinned him underneath. Neighbor friend saw it, came running. Other neighbors and friends were called. Finally, that farm machine, that tractor, was removed. And the guy was a horrible sight. It had crushed his chest. They put him on the stretcher into the ambulance. Ambulance driver started speeding toward town. He was bleeding from his nose, from his mouth. And they passed that little country church house where he had attended with his wife most of his life. And this hurt guy began to beg to the driver of the ambulance. He began to beg, please stop. You could barely understand him. He was gurgling in his blood, but he was saying to the driver of the ambulance, stop. Call my preacher. Stop it. Don't take me to the hospital. Stop at the church building. I want to become a Christian. As you can imagine, the ambulance driver was more interested in his body than his soul. Kept going toward town, and there he died begging. He died begging for another opportunity to obey Jesus. Folks, we don't want you to die begging for another opportunity to obey Jesus. So do you need to become a Christian? Why do you wait? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You say, Keith, I don't know what to say when I come forward in church. Just come and simply say, I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian. We'll take it from there. As a baptized believer, maybe you just need to come and say, pray for me. I've lost the joy of my salvation. I've lost the fire and energy, and I just need to be prayed. Do you need to be prayed for? Would you come tonight? Why do you wait? We're going to stand, we're going to sing to encourage you. Why don't you lead the way? Let's stand.